I want you to open your Bibles up, please, to Mark chapter 4 in just a moment. We'll get there and look at verse 28, Mark chapter 4, verse 28. I want to begin a new series today entitled, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Actually, this title is the title of a book that I have. It's a business book, a leadership book by Marshall Goldsmith. His book deals with 20 workplace habits executives and leaders need to break. It's a wonderful book, and if you're into that business arena, leadership arena, then I would encourage you to get the book. It's a great book. What got you here won't get you there. Now, when you get the book, though, don't expect to find this series in it. Because I'm not taking the book and preparing a series around it. I thought the title was so appropriate to the challenge that the Holy Spirit is giving the church. Not just Faith Chapel, but the church. That I wanted to use it as a topic. What got you here won't get you there. Now, the theme of this series is next level ministry, next level leadership, and next level influence. There's always another level. Say another level. Another level. There's always another level available to you in God. There's always another level available to you in God. Another level of development, another level of achievement, another level of prosperity, another level of influence. And I want you to listen out of both of your ears. This whole series, I want you to listen out of both of your ears. I want you, Faith Chapel, to listen as a congregation, as a corporate body, because God is calling us as a church, along with the rest of the church. He's calling us to operate at another level. But I want you to also listen out of your other ear. I want you to listen as an individual, because it is God's will that as an individual, you go to another level. There's another level of development for you spiritually. Another level of development for you mentally. Another level of development physically. In your career, whether it be your business career, professional career, ministry career, there's another level of achievement. Another level of achievement. You may be excited about what God has done in your life thus far, but there's another level. Say another level. There's another level of prosperity. God has been good to us, but there's another level of prosperity. In your relationships, another level socially, another level that you can go, another level of influence, say another level. God is calling us to another level. If you have any ambitions, you should want to be better, get better, and do better in your life. Would you agree with that? Now, the scripture instructs us through precept and example. It instructs us through precept and example. So I want to first begin to show you from Scripture that there's another level that we can all achieve in our lives through precept, by a principle. Let's begin at Mark chapter 4, verse 28. I'm reading from the traditional King James Version, Mark 4, verse 28. It says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the four corn in the ear." First the blade, then the ear, then the four corn in the ear. That's levels, isn't it? That's level. And we don't want to stay in the blade stage. We don't want to just stay in the ear stage. We want the full corn in the ear stage. Turn over in your Bible. Let's see another principle text in Scripture, John chapter 15. And we want to look at verses 2 and 8. John chapter 15, verse 2 and 8. Say another level. Say another level. See, there's always another level in God. Another level of development. Another level of achievement. Another level of prosperity. Another level of influence. There's always another level in God. John chapter 15. Notice what it says in verse 2. John 15, verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch, underline fruit, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Underline more fruit. Now look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now notice we see levels here. We see another level. In verse 2, it talks about fruit. Say fruit. In verse 2, it talks about more fruit. Say more fruit. Well, more fruit has to be another level, isn't it? And then in verse 8, it says, it talks about much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So there's always another level of influence, another level of development, another level of prosperity, another level of achievement. Say another level.
Another level.
God wants us to go to what?
Another level.
Now, let's look at another verse. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. There's always another level. And God is calling our church to another level. Anybody here hear the call? He's calling us to what? He's calling you to another level. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to what?
Glory.
From glory to what?
Glory.
From glory to glory. And notice what it says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That sounds like another level, doesn't it? Well, the Good Speed translation says we go from one degree of splendor to another. Now there's always another level. Come on, say another level.
Another level.
Come on, say it's always another level. It's another level of development, another level of influence, another level of achievement, another level of prosperity in God, whether it be corporate or individually. And we notice over in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. We looked over at John chapter 15, verses 2 and 8. It says fruit, more fruit, much fruit, another level. Then we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says that we go from glory to what? Glory. So there's another, always another level. Say another level. Now, this your spiritual life is the infrastructure to the whole of your life. It's what? It's the foundation to the whole of your life. So we see this principle in the area of spiritual growth. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Say babes. Now, we had people who received Christ this morning. All of you that received Christ this morning, you are what the Bible calls a babe in Christ. Babe in Christ. But there's another level. Say another level.
Another level.
In Ephesians 4, 14 through 15, it says that we should be no more children. Wow. So we go from being babes in Christ to being children. But the scripture says we should be no more children, so we shouldn't stay in the childhood stage. We should grow up, shouldn't we? And the Bible teaches that there's an adult stage in Christianity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says that this group of Christians were not spiritual. They should be spiritual, but they were carnal. Then Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, at a time when they should have been eating strong meat and before age, they still needed milk. So we see in Scripture, even as it relates to our spiritual growth, there's a babyhood stage, childhood stage, adulthood stage, and pastor is challenging you and God is challenging you. Grow up. Come on, let's grow up. Come on, let's go to another level. Let's go to another level. And so we got to press in. Come on, say press in.
Press in.
Let's go to another level. Let's don't stay babies. Let's don't stay children. Let's become spiritual. Let's be a full age where God can give us some meat and don't have to give us milk all the time. Say another level. But another level is not automatic. It's not automatic. The Bible says this group of Christians should be adults, but they were not. They should be spiritual, but they were not. Another level is not automatic. Amen. Now, we've established precept or principle that another level is possible in our lives. Have we not? Now, let's look at an example. The Bible talks about precept and example. So let's look at some natural illustrations. I want you to turn, please, to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. There's always another level available to you in God. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. Another level of development. Another level of achievement. Another level of prosperity. Another level of influence. Don't you want to go to another level in your business? How many business folk we got here? It's time to take that business to another level. Listen, in your career, how many of you got a career going? You're on a career path. Take it to another level. It's time to take it to another level. Amen. So let's look here at Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Genesis 26, verse 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord did what? The Lord blessed him. Now, was it overnight, though? Was it some kind of quick fix? Was it overnight? Let's see. The Lord blessed him. Now, look at verse 13. And the man waxed great. He became great. How did he become great? He went forward. And he did what? Grew until he became what? Now notice the man became great, and it's obvious if we read the next verse, it says, for he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herd, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So this is talking financially and materially, but the principle is still the same regardless to what area you want to go to the next level in. The Bible said the man became great. Scripture says he went forward, that was another level, and then he grew until until he became very great. So we see a classic illustration of a man from a financial and material level go to another level. And you want to go to another level. You want to put pressure on yourself to go to another level. If you're going to get another house, let that house be better. See, you don't have to get to the mansion yet. The mansion is on the radar, but you don't have to get to the mansion yet, but make sure the next house is another level. See, the next job should be another level. Make more money on the next job. You want to make more money on the next job? Want to have more influence, more power on the next job? You want to go to another level? Come on, say another level. Say another level. Now, let's look at another example. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. And let's see here how you can go to another level in ministry. Every Christian is called to ministry. And I know some of you feel a special call on your life. Anybody here feel a special call to ministry on your life? How many of y'all already ministering out somewhere in the community or somewhere? Maybe you got your own ministry. I know this brother right here, he ministers, this pastor right here, I know you got your ministry. Then this brother right here, he does a lot of ministry in jails. He's always walking up to me telling me about how many folk got saved this time. How many folk got saved this time? So he a jailhouse preacher. Every time you come to me, somebody else done got saved in jail. Okay? Well, that's great. Keep doing that, but God got another level. Amen. See, God got another level. Aren't we thankful for what God has done here at Faith Chapel? Absolutely. Whoa, we're so thankful. But God got another level for us. Say another level. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul here. Shortly after he got saved in verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Straightway. Think about it. Here the guy hadn't been saved that long. He's already out there preaching. The folk out there that got saved today, you can preach. Tell them Jesus came. He died. Boy, your sins went to hell, raised from the dead. You'll be absolutely amazed. You can get folks saved and you're just a baby Christian. A lot of folk want to wait till they get their life all together before they do anything. But Paul, shortly after he got saved, started preaching. Now, he didn't know a whole lot, didn't have a whole lot of experience, but he started. That's how I started. Come on, say, that's how Pastor started. I didn't know how to witness. I didn't know how to lead folk to the Lord, but I knew I was so glad to be saved, and I was trying to tell folk how to get saved, and I was knocking on doors in my community. Let me talk to you. I just want to tell you about what happened to me. Now, I didn't know how to take the scripture and lead a person to the Lord, but I was doing what I knew. God brought a white brother to my house. I don't know how he got him. I got to my house. I didn't know him. Say, he didn't know him. I didn't even know the guy. He came to my house and showed me. I don't know whether he saw me out in the streets preaching, but he showed me. He brought a tract to my house and showed me how to take a tract and lead a person to the Lord. Because God needs us to begin. We got to start. You can't get to another level until you start. You got to start something. You can't get to the next level until you start. Amen. So Paul started preaching. Now look at verse 28. Well, no. Look at verse 22. But Saul, you with me? But Saul increased the more in what? And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now he started out just preaching. Basic stuff, but the Bible said he increased in strength, went to another level. See, there's another level of anointing, another level of grace, another level of influence, another level of power, another level of character that you can walk in. Come on, say another level. How many want to go to another level this year? Well, let's talk about it. There are primary keys to reaching the next level. Four primary keys to reaching the next level. I want you to write down four words, and then I'm going to come back and give you the key. Four words. This is an outline for what we're going to be teaching the rest of the month. Write this word down, change. Write that down, change. Second word I want you to write down is innovation. Write down innovation. The third word I want you to write down is risk, R-I-S-K, risk. And then the fourth word I want you to write down is complacency. Complacency. Now, here's the four keys. Here's the four keys to going to the next level. You want to go to the next level? Here are the four keys. Number one, you must embrace change. Number two, you must welcome innovation. My clock is all messed up, y'all. I got zero there, and I know I got more time. It said zero. Okay. Thirdly, you must take risk. And then number four, you must resist complacency. That's where we're going now. Embrace change, welcome innovation, take risk, and resist complacency. So let's begin by talking about change the rest of the day. The rest of this session, let's talk about change. We must embrace change. Say embrace change.
Embrace, change.
Embrace simply means to hold your hands out and to hold someone, to hug. Hold your hand out. Now squeeze them, bring them in. That's change. You gotta embrace change. To embrace simply means to accept it readily, accept it gladly. Listen, if you want to go to the next level, you cannot fight change. Did you hear what I just said? If you want to go to the next level, you cannot fight change. Don't fight it. Don't fear it. If you fight change, you're going to lose. I haven't seen anybody yet who fought change and won. If you fight change, you're going to lose, because change is a law of life. Not just religious life, not just life in church. It is a law of life. It is inevitable. Change comes whether we want it or not, whether we're prepared for it or not, whether we take advantage of it or not. The scripture says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, it's going to be seed time, then it's going to change to harvest. Going to be cold, then it's going to change to heat. It's going to be summer, then it's going to change to winter. It's going to be day, but it's going to change to night. We're in the winter season right now, but summer is coming. We're in day right now, but night is coming. It is a law of life. Don't fight change. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't fight change. Embrace it. Hug it. What is change? What is change? Change means to give up something in return for something different. To give up something in return for something different. You're at the soda machine. You got the $2. $1.50. And you want the candy bar in the machine. You want the cookies in the machine. You want the coffee in the machine. Guess what? You got to give up $2. You know, but in life, now that's so simple, isn't it? You standing in front of a candy bar, a machine, and you want the candy bar. It's so simple that you got to give up that money in your hand to get that candy bar. Isn't that simple? But somehow in life, we want the candy bar and the $2. We want everything to stay the same. But we want that candy bar. We want that coffee. But we want everything. No. You got to always give up something to get something different. Amen. Now, why is change important? Why is change, to get to the next level, we got to change. Why is change important? Change is important because change prevents death. Now, you want to write that down. Change prevents what?
Death.
It prevents what? It prevents what?
Death.
Change prevents death. There's a principle or law in the business world called the law of inertia, which states if an organization doesn't continually change, it risks illegitimacy as a company and will ultimately die. That's also true, not just in the business world, it's true in ministry. 2 Kings 7:3 says, why sit we, the four lepers, so why sit we here till we die? Now you want to write this down, If you do nothing, you will die. Did you hear what I just said? If you do what?
Nothing.
You will die.
Yeah.
See, if you do nothing about your health, you do nothing about your diet, you do nothing about exercise, you do nothing about your weight. If you do absolutely nothing, you are going to die. If you do nothing about your spiritual life, I can feed you, I can prepare, I can tell you what I'm sharing, we can put it on the internet, I can add another service, we can do all this stuff, but somewhere, you got to care about your spiritual life. And if you do nothing, you're going to die spiritually. If you do nothing about your finances, do nothing, nothing. Give nothing, save nothing, budget nothing. You are going to die.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Father.
If you do nothing this year, you are going to die. We are either going forward in life or we're dying. We're either going what?
Forward.
Well, somebody, I'm just holding on. No, you're not. Listen, if you just holding on, you backing up. You just don't know it. You can't just hold on in the kingdom. Either you're going forward or you're dying. Do you have the same enthusiasm you had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Are you as hungry about the Word of God? Do you read like you used to read? Listen to CDs like you used to listen to CDs? Are you committed to holiness and character like you used to be? See, you're either going forward or you're dying. You're not holding on. You're going forward or you're dying. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you going forward?
Are you
dying? If you do nothing about your relationship, I call out a couple. In first service, I call out a couple. I'm so glad they were married because, you know, you can't just do that. So when I get to this, I know they married. I know they married. I know they married. And I know they married. And as far as I'm going to go. So if you do nothing in this relationship, if you do nothing in this relationship, if you do nothing in this relationship, if you do nothing, if you don't invest any time, any money, any energy, if you do absolutely nothing, your relationship is going to die.
Amen. Amen.
There are two manifestations of death. Two. Say two.
Two.
Two manifestations of death. Stagnation and irrelevance. Those are the two manifestations of death. What? Stagnation and death. Now, stagnation simply means to be stuck in the same place, not developing, not growing, not advancing. And you know, I'm the pastor of the church, and I love my church, and I love you because you're my family. You know what I mean? I got this small family unit, and so God gave me you. So I'm eternally grateful for you. But I've noticed some stagnation in our church. Talk about as a church. I've noticed stagnation. Stagnation is being stuck in the same place, not developing, not growing, not advancing. Last year, I noticed some stagnation in my life. What about you? Is there some stagnation in your life?
Yes,
yes. Stagnation. The essence of stupidity is to continue to do the same thing, expecting different results. Albert Einstein said that. So what we've learned so far, watch this, if we do nothing, we will. If we do nothing, we will. If we do nothing, we will. Now watch this. And if we do the same thing, we will not get different results. If we do the same thing, we will not get different results. Listen, listen. If you want to grow spiritually because you felt like you didn't grow as much last year, if you do this year what you did last year, you're not going to get different results.
Amen.
You've got to change some things. You can't do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and get different results. Anybody want some different results?
Yeah.
Well, you got to change some things. The second manifestation of death is irrelevance. Irrelevance. I define irrelevance as, I define it in one word, disconnect. Disconnect. There's another law in the business world called the law of obsolescence, which states that everything, products, services, skills, core competencies, advertisement, marketing strategies, processes, become obsolete through the passing of time. So successful companies and ministries are constantly reinventing themselves. If we don't reinvent ourselves as a, if you don't reinvent your business, you're going to end up with a disconnect. If we don't reinvent our church and do some different things, we end up with a disconnect. You say, well, what do you mean? If you are wearing a Jerry curl today, and it's dripping all over your shoulder, then you are a manifestation of a disconnect. That's not where we are yet. That's not where we are now. Don't look to your neighbor. Don't look at your See, we're not doing the rotary thing anymore, the rotary telephone. No, we got cell phones and stuff like that. I see it down there. Sorry, there's some, huh? Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Disconnect. Say disconnect. If you don't change, you become irrelevant.
Oh, Lord, that's good.
The traditional church has become irrelevant. Let me give you another illustration. Anybody like go to the classic? Go to the classic. Okay. Any old school folk? You've been going to class for a long time. Wave at me. You ain't got to tell your age. Wave. You know, early, years ago, someone say years ago. At the Classic, that game between Alabama State and A&M football game, shoot, folk were decked out. What you talking about? Fur coats, leather coats all the way down. Shoot, man, zebra outfits, all kinds of stuff. Pink suits, red suits, and shoot. You went to the Classic to see the show, man. You went. Folk come in the Classic, walking sideways. Now, if you go to the Classic today, you see somebody looking like that, pink suits and red suits and stuff like. And you know the old school folk because they're still trying to do it. Every now and then you see old school break in there, still doing the same thing. Now you know what that is. You know what that is? That's a disconnect. That's a person who had moved on. And the church can enter into a disconnect. That's why we have to change, because people have changed and times have changed and things have changed. And if we keep trying to do it the same way, we end up with a disconnect. In other words, we'll lose our shelf life. Anybody ever go to a grocery store and you look at the expiration date. Now, some of y'all don't. Y'all, give me some bread. I want some bread. Come on now, give me some bread. Give me some milk. No, I don't do a whole lot of shopping. But when I buy milk or bread, I spend time. I go. You see me going up the row right there, and I pick up this bread, looking at the shelf life on it. I pick up this one, picking up this one. This one got 4 more days. This one got 7 days. This one got 10 days. I'm going to get the 10 days. Because the folk is saying that you got 10 days. That we'll work with you for 10 days. But if you eat this bread in March, you're on your own. Well, see, things can have a shelf life. Things that can be very relevant in one time frame loses relevance in another time frame, and that's why you have to change. See, if I keep walking like this, I'm never going to get up there to that level. Watch this. I can walk down here all I want, fast, talking tongues, talking tongues. I can live holy down here. Oh, I can tie down here. I can do all that, but I'm never going to be at another level. To get at another level, I have to take some incremental steps that are different than the steps I was taking. Incremental steps that are different than what I was taking. Incremental steps that are different than I used to take, incremental steps that are different than I used, and then all of a sudden I get to another level. Now I'm walking on another level. See, I'm walking on another level. But you can't keep doing the same thing, 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 and be on another level. This is my closing. I'm getting ready to close. So, what will this change cost us? Let's see what it's going to cost us. You want to go to another level?
Yes.
Then you're going to have to change. You got that?
Yes.
So, what is it going to cost you? For some of you, it's going to cost your attitudes. You're going to have to give up that one. Others of you, it's going to cost your thoughts. Your thought life is going to have to change. Others of you, you got to change some habits. Others of you, you're going to have to change some actions. Unfortunately, some of you, you're going to have to change some relationships.
Amen.
Then others of you, you're going to have to change, whether it's in your company or in church, policies, procedures. Some of you are going to have to change your products. You're going to change some of your services and the way you do services. You're going to have to change. Now, every person, because this is the first key to going to the next level, is change. You've got to change something. Now, I personally give you my testimony. I evaluated my life. I do it every year, and I looked over my life at the end of the year, and I went down the row, spirit, soul, body, social, and financially. And I must admit, when I looked at my life spiritually, I didn't like where I was spiritually. Now, I didn't backslide, okay? But I wasn't as intense. I wasn't as focused as I needed to be spiritually. So the change that I made, I said, now, you got to pray more. You just got to pray more. I looked at my life mentally and emotionally. I didn't like where I was last year. I worried too much last year. Had bouts of discouragement, serious bouts of discouragement. And when I got in that series that I'm going to teach y'all Wednesday, man, I got delivered. I got free.
Amen.
But my thought life, I wasn't managing my thought life. So I said, okay, I got to change some things there. I looked at my life physically, and man, I ate everything I wanted to eat, any way I wanted to eat it, how late I wanted to eat it. It didn't make no difference whether it's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, And I looked at my diet, and I had no discipline. I looked at my sleep patterns, and I'm going to bed all time of night. I'm not getting any rest. And I realized I got to make some changes. Got to make some changes. I got to make some changes. Peter and I made some changes as it relates to financial and what we're going to give and that kind of thing. You got to make some changes. Now, you got to make some decisions. The Holy Spirit will help you, and you need him to help. So the first day after the New Year's, Friday, first day, I start making those changes. Start making those changes in those areas, and every day I get up, I give me grace to do it. I can't do it by myself. I know I can. You can make all the resolutions you want, but you got to have the Holy Spirit to help you. So I say, now help me, and I'm taking it one day at a time. Yeah. I'm managing my thought life. No. You won't worry about it. No. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Amen. That's good.
See, I've already made some changes. If you're going to go to the next level and this year's going to be better,
yeah. You've
got to. And only you and the Spirit of God can find out for you what those changes may mean. And for everybody, it may be something different. But if you want to have something different, go to another level, you have to make some changes. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to make some changes. Got it? It didn't last for one day. I made some changes in my diet. One day, my body was saying, no, you ain't going to do me like this. I was in that thing one day, and my body said, no. No chips. No chips. Shoot, man. I was in that thing one day, and I realized, man, I've been junking it out. I mean, any kind of junk food, any kind of thing. I'm just junking it out. But you can make some changes. You get anything out of this one?
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to look at the second key. We're going to talk about innovation. And this is going to be your best year up to this year. Up until this time, this is going to be, I speak it over you, an amazing year. I speak health and prosperity and the peace of God and angelic protection over you in Jesus' name. I love you all.